The office background with the lighting looks actually really good on your end.
Thank you. Yeah, you actually look pretty good too, although your green screen's a little bit funky.
Yeah, but this one looks the best with me, the lighting in here. All the rest of them look really weird. This one seems to fit.
So, well, and some of them are just silly, but yes. Tune in next week to hear us review. Actually, that's what we should do, Jim, is I should record this call and we should review the default Skype backgrounds on our operating systems. And we should just upload that to YouTube.
Yeah, what a fantastic video that would be.
This is actually a trend on TikTok where people like review really mundane things. Like women will review the fish in pictures that guys take like as their profile picture. Because you know how like a lot of guys will have just like, I caught this fish as their profile picture. So they'll go through their friends list and review all the fishes. Like, well, this fish is really big, but he looks kind of slimy. This fish looks really sad. And it's just like, you know, 4 second reviews of fish.
This is so YouTube.
Well, it's TikTok, but nice try.
TikTok. Okay. Got it. All right. Thank you.
Back in my day, we had the tubes. Now you've got the clocks with the ticking and the talking.
You know me and the vines and the YouTubes. I'm just so old fashioned. The reaction videos. I'm getting tired of those. I mean, I think I might have clicked on one once. And YouTube's algorithm is just sending them to me on a daily basis.
Yeah, don't do that.
And there's just reaction videos for every possible thing. And you know what? The funny thing is, there's this video on YouTube right now with a drummer called Danny Carey. He's drums for the band called Tool. He's a really good musician, really good drummer. And there's a clip of him from a concert playing one of their like 12-minute long songs. And it's actually gone viral, as the kids say. And I saw a video that said vocal coach reacts to Danny Carey's Tool performance. And it was a video that had like 500,000 views. And I mean, this is where we are. This is where we are with this.
I don't think
it's getting a little nuts.
I don't think I've seen a single one of these videos, like watched a single one of these videos. Every once in a while, I'll see one that's really interesting, like VFX artist reacts to Mandalorian or something. But I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I've reacted to that. I don't need to see somebody else react to it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Maybe there's some of them might work. I don't know. But I think I think we're getting a little bit carried away.
I have been watching people. So there's this whole subset. Do you know what Twitch is, Jim?
Vaguely.
So it's people who stream themselves playing video games.
No, I got it. That's what happens when I listen to libertarians talk.
Or me.
Or you. Libertarians and David. Okay, anyways, keep going.
I might be a libertarian. I'm not a libertarian, but I don't know
if you are.
I share a lot of things in common with them.
All right, anyways.
Yeah, so anyway, that's a whole thing. There's this whole like multi-million dollar industry, maybe billion dollar industry around people streaming themselves play games. I've never liked that.
Oh, Twitch. Yes.
I've never found that interesting. I've never found that entertaining. Sometimes.
You're a gamer. Are you a gamer, David? We never talked about
that. So I used to be a big gamer. I was in TWL. I was in CAL. I wasn't good. Well, I was
these
good.
PC games,
I was
David.
Good by, PC games.
PC games,
TWL and CAL are leagues that you can join. CAL, for example. I don't know if they still exist, but CAL. CAL had prizes. Like the team that would win would actually make money.
The wonderful lozenges.
I was never good enough to get to like quite that. Like, I've made money level. But I was pretty good. You're and a gamer. Then I realized that it was a tremendous waste of time.
it occurred to you one day.
Stopped when I went to college, and now I do two kinds of games. I play games like first
with new Calvinists.
Yes, that's true. I play like first-person shooters that have really good storylines. I like really like interesting.
You like the Star Wars games, right?
I do love the Star Wars games.
Yes.
Yes. I play games for the story, single player. Like I will. Yeah. It's like if you could play a Tom Clancy novel, wouldn't that be cool?
Well, you can, don't you? There's like,
exactly.
They make a couple of those. A lot of those games are really story-driven now.
Yeah,
movies. There are scenes filmed.
Yeah, so I like those kinds of games. And then Sarah and I play Age of Empires 2, which is like a real-time strategy, kind of overhead. You manage armies and attack.
You've talked about this. To practice for when the day the Covenanters take over.
Exactly. Also, I'm running for president.
Yes.
I'm not actually old enough yet, right? Is that 35? You have to be 35 to run for president?
Oh, I don't know. I have not looked up the Constitution.
Lately. That actually brings up the fact that today is, man, what are we even doing? What is this segment?
This is intro banter.
Today is election day.
Non-FCU episodes. Intro is just you and I talking.
Did you vote, Jim?
I already voted. I did early voting. As you know, in Washington State, we do mail-in ballots.
Did you vote for Biden?
I did not vote for Joe.
That's what everybody was expecting after several of our episodes.
Yeah. I wonder if these guys are going to vote for Joe. No, I neglected to vote for good old Joe this time around. Sorry about that.
Senator Biden. Did you vote for the Donald?
I also did not. That is another person I withheld my vote.
Oh, so you voted for Biden.
That's right. I pretty much voted for Biden.
Oh, wait, but you didn't vote for Biden. That means you voted for Trump.
I guess it depends on your outlook.
Really, whoever wins, that's who you voted for.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you what. Last presidential election, I was convinced that he was not going to win. I thought Hillary Clinton was going to win. And then, you know, expectations confounded. This time around, I feel like Trump is not going to win. But really, either way it goes tonight, I mean, I think I could probably get there mentally. I could rationalize my way through it and figure it out. But what that means is I really don't know what's going to happen tonight. I really don't.
Yeah,
I can see Trump going. I can see Joe Biden getting elected. I can see Donald Trump getting elected. I can see pathways to both. But I honestly don't know what's going to happen.
I think
in a couple of hours.
I think Trump's going to win. And
really, why do you think that?
Because the Republicans are pretty good at manipulating things. Like, I'm not 100% convinced that this is a thing that happens, but I'm sure that both sides try.
In a nation of 350 million people, how do you manipulate?
You lose votes. You get the right people into the right places, and you just don't count votes.
That's called that you don't count votes. How is that accomplished? In a Democratic voting district, that's mainly Democratic.
You
sneak in the back and like steal all the ballots? I mean, how is this possible?
You don't go for those places. That's why you don't see like states that are not swing states suddenly become Republican. Like that would be silly. That would be obvious. You can't do that. You but do in it in the little states, places where it counts at the right amount.
What do they do? How do they steal the election?
I'm
curious.
You don't count.
You just don't count. They go to the people that are counting the ballots and they say, hey, you don't count that. And they say, okay, you're right, sir.
All right. I'm not actually prepared for this conversation, but I will prepare conversation next week.
Okay, maybe we'll
Is I've heard from people that I trust not to just completely make stuff up that this is a thing. Mm-hmm. And it strikes me as plausible. But anyway, I actually don't know who's going to win. Obviously, I have a hunch it will be Donald. I have a hunch there will be riots. And I have a hunch that there will be people calling for recounting, even if it's not warranted. Looking for tampering, etc.
Yeah, that I agree with. It's going to be a great win for post-millennials.
Anyway, what were we talking about before we brought up the election?
Talking about YouTube reaction videos, I think. No, gaming.
That's right. So now I've been watching videos of these are like videos of people playing games, but it's somebody else entirely who's really good at the game doing commentary. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like having John Madden talk over a football game. It actually is, because these are strategy games. So if you can imagine watching chess and having a grandmaster give you commentary on chess as it's happening,
that'd be cool.
Like, you wouldn't want to watch a lot of it probably, but it would be entertaining.
Yeah. So the Twitch videos are these certain ones that you're talking about. They're entertaining for you.
Oh, I'm watching them on YouTube. I haven't quite reached Twitch level yet.
Huh.
Need more caffeine for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I gotcha. Yeah. Well, maybe that would be interesting. I've seen a couple of those that I know what you're talking about, but I've also seen some of the, you know, the 19-year-old gamer who just records himself playing a game for 7 hours and people like it and they get people to watch.
They have an MP5. Watch the 203 over there.
14-year-olds playing Call of Duty.
That's not a 19-year-old. I'm thinking of like a 16-year-old. 15, maybe.
It's a 19-year-old that's just, you know, latent puberty.
Well, like Clarence.
Hey, Mom!
I don't think that that's very nice.
Oh, hey, Clarence, quiet now.
I should point out this is, oh no, this will go and follow up. You know what? Let's get into the show, Jim. You want to start the show?
Sorry, I dropped my pen. Hey, do you want to start the show?
Why can't you just say yes? I don't understand why we have this thing where I ask you, do you want to start the show? And you just, you do something like, oh, I dropped my pen. Like, why can't you just say yes?
David, I unhooked my headphones. I didn't hear you. I had to,
I'm returning the favor.
And I'm like, David, calm down, man.
Hear me out. I was using Jim's passion.
Yes, thank you.
Which is also the same as the name for the translation of the Bible that Jim's working on, Jim's Passion.
Yes, Jim's from the empty Bible you gave me. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. I couldn't talk about that on the show. But I did give you a Bible. It was nice. It was leather bound pleather bound anyway. It was completely, every page was blank.
Completely blank. And I think you capitalized well on that. I think there was a good joke in there.
There was. I made a joke about the new version of, I think it was the ESV or the NIV.
Something about like no substance. I don't know.
It was how they've removed even more verses in the new NA29.
That was a good joke. That worked. David, that joke, it worked. Let's go ahead and start the show.
I had access to this because I used to work for a Christian publisher. But yeah, let's start the show.
No, let's really start the show. Okay.
The podcast you are about to hear contains the histrionic and problematic conversations of a stodgy Presbyterian and a casserole-loving Baptist. Their interactions are volatile at times and unpleasant most of the time. In many nations, this is considered a mild form of torture. We strongly advise you to stop this nonsense and go do something useful with your life. Otherwise, if you insist on listening to this mess, welcome to the lightest form of flogging.
Thank you, Deep Voice Man. I also welcome you to the Lightest Form of Flogging podcast, episode 114. I am your host, Jim. My computer is no longer self-aware. And sitting across the country from me in a contractually negotiated 824 miles is my... that's right, David, right?
24, yes.
24 is my co-host, David, who, while he did not endorse any of the candidates for today's presidential election, he would consider selling his vote. As long as you agree to convert to Presbyterianism. All right.
The ends justify the means. I'm not saying he
would. That would probably be illegal. So I'm not saying he would.
Is it illegal to sell your vote? Hold on.
It must be. It must be. I haven't looked it up, but it has to be.
I'm looking this up right now. Real-time follow-up. Can I legally sell my vote? Legal office advice. Assuming you're in the U.S., it is a crime to sell your vote in an election for a public office or to buy votes. For other elections, HOA board memberships, student council members, and so on, check with your organization's voting rules. Thank you, Reddit/r/ legal advice off topic.
Indeed. So then let me just say, to the extent that you would, David,
right,
if you would, you would do it if that person agreed to convert to Presbyterianism. I think
actually that's an exchange of services. That's not selling. There's no money changing hands.
It's still a transaction.
Exchange.
It's not selling. So, David, everybody's selling. You're either selling or you're getting sold. Come on. In the game of life, David,
I think I got sold. I'm sorry.
Yes, you did. Everyone's been sold listening to me talk.
We've been trying to sell out for weeks, but we can't get anybody to buy.
No. Oh, really? No, not really. I don't want to be a part of what you guys are doing. I've heard stories. That's what we hear from.
From you. You said that to me yesterday.
Yes. Anyways, hey show, we're in it. David, this is a special edition of the Lightest Form of Flogging.
It is indeed.
Today is election day. Yes. We are about to descend into rioting, bedlam, Bethlehem, and all sorts of chicanery.
Bethlehem.
Yes.
House of bread.
Everything going okay in the Denver area. I saw a story that a lot of downtown Denver businesses have boarded up, expecting some trouble out there.
Oh, I should be expecting trouble. This is a very, thanks, everywhere. Jim. I hadn't thought about this. Like, I was thinking, oh, there's going to be rioting. And then I'm like, oh, wait, I live in Denver now.
Yes. You don't live in the cornfield anymore.
Not in downtown Denver, mind you. This is like,
but close enough.
Suburby, but still technically our address is Denver.
The Molotov cocktails could make their way towards you.
That's true. That's true. I think they make them what's in a Molotov cocktail?
I think it's just
alcohol, gasoline,
right? No, No, I think standard alcohol or a standard liquor probably wouldn't be powerful.
Petrol bomb, gasoline bomb, bottle bomb, poor man's grenade.
David, Wikipedia does not. No one's tracking your search results because.
Hold on.
Selling votes, Molotov cocktails.
That's actually really funny. Denver
the president.
No, that's not right. Illegal to sell your vote. Try to be cognizant. LOTR 4K update. Corporeal form. Abdicates. Best Buy Lord of the Rings UHD. LOTR 4K Amazon 30 super 35 millimeter scan resolution.
This is your life. This is David's life. Everybody.
Reading you my most recent. On this machine anyway. Google
While
search.
While not problematic, yes. We do know that you have no life.
I wonder about a lot of things, okay?
that's what David does in his house. He wonders and then he goes to Google. The rest is history.
We should get into follow-up, shouldn't we?
I was just about to say, are you pushing me along, David?
I'm pushing us along. I feel like we haven't talked in a while, so we're just being silly.
Good point. Yeah. You're right. I'll accept that. Okay, let's get into follow-up. You go ahead.
All right, so I have an update on Lord of the Rings 4K, and this
by the way,
yes, sir.
When people heard this news, they went to the internet, did a little bit of research, and probably got what they wanted. You and I are on like week six follow-up of this. I want to know.
I'm giving the listeners a service because this was a pretty deep dive. So yeah. I mentioned, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, that the Lord of the Rings was filmed on 35 millimeter film. And while that's technically true, it was actually filmed on what's called Super 35, which is not as nice as regular 35 millimeter. And they say that it scans at between 2.8K to 3.2K. I think it's like super budget. Kind of like good value at Walmart is not actually that good of a value necessarily.
Man, this is tough.
I'm especially if the brand name is on sale.
El Cheapo.
Well, I mean, they just didn't need the full. I mean, they were just filming for 1080p. So anyway, it scans at 2.8 to 3.2K, but about 1K of that is just noise. So if you scan it at full, like 3.2K, it's going to be a very noisy image. So what you get out of it is maybe a 2.2K image, which means they are going to have to up-res the footage. Now, I have to say, as somebody who's used machine learning to up-res video footage, and also David Latchett can tell you a little bit about that, the process of going from 1080p to 4K is pretty easy. There's enough data there. The algorithms have a really easy time with it. So I'm not worried about that. But I thought I would point out, I was wrong. It wasn't filmed strictly on 35 millimeter that scans at 6K. It was scanned on super 35 millimeter, which has roughly half the resolving, detail resolving value as straight 35 millimeter film, or as you like to call it, 35 millimeter neat. This is more like 35 millimeter on the rocks. And then secondly, it's actually, I'm like 87% sure that these are the ones where Peter Jackson, the ones going to be released on December 1st are the ones where Peter Jackson has like gone through with the VFX people and with all the people and remastered every frame or every scene or, you know, however granular you want to be. So
remastered as in not recreating the effects.
Well, but, a remastered is not, it's not a clear term, but it sounds like what's going to happen is there's going to be a version that has the old effects and there's going to be a version that has the new effects. And it's unclear from the wording of the advertisements whether the remastered version where they've gone through and they've really had at it, whether that's going to be in the fall of this year, like December 1st of this year, which is technically fall, or if it's fall of 2021. Because like there are two versions coming. One is going to be the theatrical and extended cuts of the original with the original effects just like blown up, like made bigger. And then one is going to be like fully remastered. And also the definition of fully remastered is unclear because it might just mean that they're going through and like deciding what to keep and what to cut again. Like it might just mean that it's a different director's cut kind of thing, or not director's cut, because that's a different thing.
That's not exciting.
It's all very vague and confusing. I can understand.
What is left?
I don't know. Like, hopefully one of these versions is going to have the VFX, and hopefully it's the one on December 1st, but I thought I would introduce a lot of 2020 uncertainty because we live in unprecedented times for our listeners.
Yes, indeed. Well, I feel like I have no further clarity after listening to you I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know who's going to get elected, and I don't know what movie is going to come at me, I think, this December. Well, if they're going to be released this December, I mean, does nobody know how these things are going to shake out?
Exactly. I mean, obviously the people behind the scenes know, like the people doing it know, but like, they just haven't put out a lot of information. It's leading to a lot of confusion, but hey, Jim, it's like 28, 29 days away.
Yeah. I want to know, you know.
Oh, well, I want to know.
We'll have to all wait.
Have you ever seen The Rain?
Have I ever seen Rain?
The Rain. Yeah. I want to know.
Oh, David just did a Creedence Clearwater Revival joke and I missed it.
Okay. You missed my Clearwater Revival joke.
Thank you, Clarence. I have seen The Rain. Yes. Someone told me long ago. Okay.
You're up next.
I'm up next. Jim's computer. So folks, last week there was no flogging episode. I do apologize. This was my fault. My computer died. However, it is not completely dead. I did a couple of...
well, it got better.
I weighed it against a duck. No. And the duck won, so therefore my computer was a witch. No. I did a couple of technical things to try and rehab it, and it is on life support. So I am actually working on the computer that I said died. It is not completely dead. It is still working. It is just hobbling along. I'm even having monitor issues right now. All of my stuff is on one monitor, which I'm not liking. So David is
doing something. Can I tell you what I think is wrong with it?
Yes, please.
So Windows has been doing this thing for the last like year-ish where it's been doing the broader thing here, which is it tries to manage your drivers for you.
How do you know it's the drivers? Like you know.
It sounds like it's the drivers.
Okay.
It's more likely than a hardware failure because those are exceptionally rare. It's entirely possible that you have a hardware failure. I'm not going to like rule that out. Yeah. But obviously, before you go physically replacing something, you want to try installing the correct drivers. Well, Windows has been doing this stupid thing where like it insists on using Windows Update to manage your drivers. And if there's some driver that for whatever reason is not compatible or not as compatible with your hardware, Windows will still install it. You'll go out and you'll install version 3. And Windows will notice, oh, wait, the version we approved is version 2.8 or version 3.2, and it'll just install it for you. And then you'll install version 3 because that's the one that works. And then Windows will be like, oh, I'm Windows Update and I need to update your computer. Let's go back to 2.8 or 3.2 or whatever.
Okay.
And I suspect that's what's happening. I have a coworker who's been wrestling with what I believe is this precise problem. She actually could not update her Windows for like a year and 4 months or something and couldn't do Windows updates at all, which is sort of like, I don't know, licking a petri dish in a bio lab. Like, no, keep your computer up to date for Pete's sake. But no, Windows is just a mess right now when it comes to updates and drivers. So if I were you, I would get, while you have it working, get all the data that you like care about onto some kind of thumb drive, external hard drive, what have you.
Sure.
I would completely wipe the hard drive, delete Windows, delete all the things, and do a complete reinstall of Windows from like a USB thumb drive. You can go out to Windows. If you do a search for download Windows ISO, you can find instructions for how to do this and get all of your, like, I don't know if it's a Dell or an HP or whatever, get all of the stuff that comes with it off of there and just reinstall the drivers by hand and then see if Windows Update still breaks things. That's what I would
say. Sounds like a lot of work.
Oh, no. Having a Windows computer is a lot of work.
I imagine. But this is this computer is old. It's like working on a 95-year-old. Mm. You know, sometimes you just have to let them walk off into the lake.
that was so morbid.
That was really bad, Jim. It was. Yeah. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to commit to looking into a hard drive I don't know what you call it, like rescrub or something.
Right,
scrubbing the hard drive and starting over again. I will look into that because I did that with a work computer once and it fixed a lot of issues. So it can't be too hard. Just the reinstalling is the part that I'm nervous about. I don't know if I could do all that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that old because you have the green screen feature. I know a lot of people whose computers are so old, they don't have the green screen feature in Skype because their computer, like Skype looks at their computer and is like, psh, you can't do that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good then.
So I don't know. It might be, I mean, the question is, is there something other than the fact that it's broken that you wish this computer can do that it can't? Like, oh, it would be great if it did podcast editing faster or something.
It could be faster.
Yeah, then there's nothing wrong with upgrading your computer if you've had it for a long time. Like, I'm not going to tell you not to, but I mean, it would also be nice to have this one as like a hand-me-down for kids' school or stuff like that. So I would try to fix it either way.
Yeah. I have my last PC still in my basement as a backup that I was going to hook up if this thing died. But anyways, I think you're right.
That was that was a good follow-up point. That brings me to ARM Max. If you are thinking about a computer, you might be thinking about a... it's so weird because Jim just took a drink of his whiskey, but the glass, because of the effect, he's got like some kind of like loft office space. The glass is completely transparent. So it's like he's, it just looks really silly. It's like he's mime drinking. Title.
That's funny. Thank you.
Just don't get mime drunk and we'll be fine.
All right.
So ARM Max, Apple is making their own processors. They're ditching Intel. They're not delving into AMD. They are making their own processors, and they are announcing their first computers with those CPUs next Tuesday, Jim. We may see cheaper Macs. We may see much, much faster Macs, and we may see Macs with way better battery life. These will all probably be laptops. So,
or bigger Macs.
Actually, they're probably going to get smaller.
Well, then the joke doesn't work then.
I know.
I know, he says.
I broke it.
Anyways, this is weird. You and I haven't talked for 2 weeks and we're just kind of having fun here. This is a little weird.
Yeah, I just, but I wanted to let you know, if you were thinking about buying a Mac, please wait until next Tuesday because this is, I think, going to be one of the biggest things to happen to computers, not just the Apple Mac, but two computers possibly in the last like 15 years.
In the tech world, 15 years is a long time, David.
Oh yeah. That's like 47 cat years.
I think you're right.
No, Jim, we talked about this back in like episode 3. Men do not make cat noises at each other. There is no circumstance under which that is acceptable behavior.
It's one of the funnier things you've ever said. I remember that. It's just things men do and things men don't do. And Jim, you crossed the line.
You want to talk about our hair for a while?
No.
Using a new shampoo. Next.
Yes. I'm next. Dr. David Latchett from our Slack community, the Tech Reformation Slack. I said that he came up with the tool that helped David and I determine how far we are apart from one another. Emotionally, there is no tool that could bridge that gap. But actually, it was Chris Ragsdale. So I do apologize. Chris Ragsdale, thank you for helping us determine how far apart David and I are.
Physically.
And I thank none of you for helping us come together because you haven't done that yet.
There you go. Over me. Next up, I just wanted to say, we still don't have time for this, but Mandalorian season 2, episode 1 is potentially the best thing to happen to 2020, which I realize is not saying a lot.
Yeah, we've gone very low.
It's still good. Hey, that's all I have to say.
Yeah. Anything that goes, that helps us move forward is a good thing. I'm excited. I can't wait to watch it. I told my kids about it. They're like, Dad, season 2 is here. I'm like,
this is gonna be great. It is. So. Yeah. Episode 1 was great. We were very happy with it. There were moments that made us smile. It moved us, you know?
Oh, I'm just so, anything that moves you has to be amazing. So I just can't wait to watch it. It'll be very exciting.
Cars. Sometimes scooters, bicycles,
very large logs thrown at you.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, given the right mass and velocity,
also people coming towards you will make you move.
Oh yeah.
Away.
Although that's my legs really doing the moving. All right. Last up, I just wanted to say that if you listen to the last episode, you might have noticed that Deep Voice Man sounded pretty different in the intro to our show that he did to the rest of the episode. And really the reason for that is that I kind of forgot how to do the voice because it's been a really long time since I recorded that clip. But I'm just going to say that Deep Voice Man has a radio voice. When he does his announcery voice, he kind of pulls back a little bit. You know, he doesn't want to embarrass people. So he's got kind of a radio voice.
Okay. That's good to know. I myself did not really notice the difference.
Oh, well, that's good. I had a listener let me know that there was a difference.
Hey, man, did you realize? No, he didn't talk like that. Or she. I don't know.
I mean, his name was Brad, so I just assume all Brads talk like that.
Yeah.
Gotta get some protein.
I've never heard Brad speak.
No, me neither.
Like a lot of our Slack people, I've heard Chris Ragsdale speak, and it was wonderful.
No, it sounded like Rainn Wilson.
He just sounds, Chris, you're a treasure to me. But I always imagine what I think they sound, and I've always thought Brad kind of sounded like this. Hi, I'm Brad. I'm not trying to insult the guy. Maybe he does sound like that. If he did, I would like him all the same.
Right.
But I always, and David Latchett, I always felt that he had like a really deep voice. I don't know why. It's probably because he speaks with such authority on the Slack. I'm like, hi, I'm Dr. David Latchett. How are you doing? I'm not like that.
You can hear his voice if you would like.
I've always wanted to know.
That would be.
He seems like he has a deep voice.
Hold on one second.
Like if you heard him talk, you would feel like he's disappointed with you. That's what I've always felt with Latchett's voice.
Here we go. You can listen to episode 176 of the Tech Reformation.
Okay.
Yeah, Dr. David Latchett joined us to talk about Facebook's new cryptocurrency, which I guess never materialized, but it was called Libra.
Libra. Okay. Well, I will have to do that because I want to see what these people sound like and see if it matches up to what I think.
You should hear what they sound like.
Yes, I should. Anyways, no more follow up there.
Do you want to start the show, David?
Let's go ahead and start the show. But I'm not going to start the show. We're going to do the main topic. But before that, we're going to do a quick break and then we'll be right back. After a quick sip of Macallan, I think I'm ready to go. All right.
A quick sip of Evan Williams.
Nice glass.
What do they call that? Evan Williams.
White or black, perhaps? 1783?
1783, yeah. They use another term. It's
I'm not following you. I don't have the bottle in front of me. I'm not actually quite sure. You are looking things up tonight.
So much, Jim. Let's see. Small batch.
Okay, small batch, right. Most of them, most bourbon is small batch.
Well, you're a small batch, Jim.
I know.
That's probably the first time anybody's called you a small anything.
So glad we're back talking to each other again.
I did mean the A, not an I in batch. So you're welcome.
Okay, good. Thank you. So we're going to talk about a mental model today, David. We haven't talked about mental models in a while.
That's true.
Way back in the day.
Maybe you haven't.
Okay, right. Well, anyways, way back in the day, we did a whole show on mental models. Might have done two.
We did a series.
I was just about to say, we took a long break and then went back and started talking about a couple that would cross our minds. Today is going to be another one of those days. We're going to talk about the brain mental model that I think you and I might share. I don't know. I know I think of my brain in the way that we're about to describe. I don't know if you do, but yeah. So we're going to talk about the brain today. So why don't you go ahead and start, David? I don't know if this is your show or not, but let's just pretend it is.
Oh, it's your show. I know. So do you remember when we used to argue about whose show it was?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those were the days. We did. That was back when vlogging was good. Anyway. So if you have ever said,
I know you believe that, by the way,
what's a phrase that people say? Why can't I think of any of the phrases like, oh, my brain did this, or my brain went,
that reaction video on YouTube was so great. That's what people say. That's a phrase I hear a lot.
That is a phrase that you would hear a lot. The concept here is thinking of your brain almost as a separate entity, but an attached entity. Kind of like how people will say, oh, I can't see you. My eyes are really bad. Like, I can't see you because I'm bad at seeing. And that is because there's something wrong with my eyes. But like, there's this, it's not quite detached, but it's a sort of detached way of talking about our brain as a separate entity from ourselves. Like, I wanted to do this, but my brain said, dude, like, yes. I wanted to fall asleep. But my brain decided it was going to think about quadratic equations.
Well, I don't know about that, but it's almost as if your body is composed of many component parts that are competing with each other.
Right. Which is actually how Paul describes it.
Like competing? Oh, yes. Well.
Yeah. And he says, don't do that.
And he says, don't do that.
This is not a theology show, so we won't say what he says. You can
never
that.
Has been, right, David? So we're not going to speculate on what the old apostle was trying to say. Yes. We won't be going
in
there.
Hebrews.
Yes.
It's First Corinthians. Yes. I do know that. I was making it's a Paul Rudd Hebrews joke.
Okay. We won't talk about theology, but David will shoehorn in his authorship claims on Hebrews. We will mention that.
Can I tell you, my pastor, who sadly just resigned, he would very frequently quote Hebrews and say Paul and then apologize and say the apostle.
But he was doing it on purpose, right?
Well, he wasn't saying Paul on purpose. He just believes that Paul wrote it and he would like let that slip by accident. But he didn't want to like make a big deal out of that in a sermon that wasn't on Hebrews.
Why wouldn't in an RPC in a church? That's what you that's what they talk about all the time.
Oh,
when you guys go do your potlucks. That's all you
about. Right. We do talk about it, but not everybody agrees on it in the RPCNA. It's not like it's in our confession.
But you should.
Okay. This just in. Jim thinks all RPCNA members should agree on the authorship of Hebrews.
You should, because in the pub, I thought all RPCNA guys did was just think and talk that, or and say declaratively, shoehorning it in that Paul was the author of Hebrews. And I was like, these guys are like really serious about this. But it's actually all just one big joke to you guys.
People who comment on Facebook are necessarily a self-selecting group of people who have strong enough opinions to comment on Facebook.
Right. So you're saying here and now, breaking news. We are breaking the news today that RPCNA people are just normal people, right? Was that what you're claiming?
I mean, I don't know. You should come visit us and find out. I have no ability to assess that.
Sure. Well, I guess I did go to a Dutch Reformed church one time.
That's true. And you learned like four words in German.
Fun group of people.
I think you would, Jim, you need to come out here. You would like my church. They are a fun group of people. We were like immediately greeted. We were invited over for lunch the first time that we came. Like it was surprising. It felt like going to a Baptist church, but in a universe where Baptists are nice.
What a universe. I'm not disagreeing with you on that one. Most of us are jerks.
Oh, man. Same here. Anyways, what are we? Okay, we're talking about the brain.
Let's talk about the brain.
We're trying to focus on this, but our brains won't let us. And that's an illustration that we concocted for this episode. So I thought this was an interesting thing because I don't know if you like police your own thoughts where you have a thought and you're like, what was that thought? Like, do you, I don't know. Like, do you think about the thoughts that you have?
Like as in, I should have not entertained that thought.
Well, I mean, not even like ethically, but like that was a weird thought to have. Like I wonder how, like if you're just sitting there one day and you're like, cats really love yarn. I wonder how much they could eat.
And then you observe, hey, that was weird.
That was a weird thought that I just had. Yes.
Yes. I do that sometimes. Okay. The randomness. Cause I think, I don't know. It's like, I've always thought that dreams, it was your brain processing the conscious and subconscious images and thoughts of the day. That's why they're always so random. Mm-hmm. But I've always thought that maybe your brain like pre-cleans itself during the day and like has to do some random scrambling.
Right.
And it like happens and it's like, whoa, what was that? Yes, that happens sometimes.
Okay. So I've caught myself thinking, oh, my brain did this, or even saying, oh, my brain did that. And I thought, that's a really odd thing because a lot of people think about their brain as themselves. Like I am my brain. My brain is the thing that does the thinking. And like, of course I'm controlled by my thoughts. And so that was kind of what prompted this topic was one day I think it was in an episode. I said something like, oh, well I wanted to do this, but my brain wouldn't let me. And then I had the thought that was a really odd thing to say. That's an odd way to think about it. And so I have to say there are a bunch of philosophical questions here about the composition of man. And these are also inherently then theological conversations that we could have about is man body, soul, spirit, body, soul, spirit. How does the brain relate to body, soul, spirit? Why in the New Testament does Jesus bring mind into the equation? You know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, heart, soul, mind, strength. But we're not going to talk about those because they're over our heads. And honestly, I don't have good answers for them. There are also a bunch of questions that we will get into a little bit about whether blaming things on your brain is an attempt to abdicate moral responsibility. We're not going to talk about that a whole bunch. But to that question, I can confidently say maybe sometimes.
Yes. Yes. I think this mental model is helpful. in some respects, but ultimately I think I have actually done this where I've excused to some extent a thing that I just did because I blamed it on my brain for not understanding it very well enough or not being developed well enough or emotionally mature or because I've been stunted in this way for so long. That's why I did that thing. And therefore, I should not feel as bad about it, which means you don't repent as well as you could.
Because right. Of
that. That's how, I mean, just working that through live. That's kind of how it's happened for me.
So I'm just working through my notes here. What's interesting to the topic about me is that I think we talked about this kind of concept a number of times, because, or at least something that relates to this, which is how your physical corporeal form affects your thinking and your feeling. So like the fact that you are not just a spirit or not just a brain, but you are like a collection of assorted types of meat, that affects like when you're tired or when you're hungry, or we've talked a whole bunch. I think it was in episode 7, the Sad Gumball Machine. We talked a whole bunch about how like eating and sleeping affect depression. Mm-hmm. Right. And there's a very real sense then I think that like we would want to use that kind of language here. We're like, well, when I don't sleep and I'm eating poorly or not eating enough, I like my brain tends to kick into depression mode easier. Like, I wouldn't want to say like I jump straight into depression mode because it feels almost like there's an outside but still internal force making me be depressed, making me think in a depressed way.
I should ask at this point, David, do you think that's okay? Kind of talking to yourself that way? Like I haven't really asked you. Like, do you think thinking of the brain this way is helpful?
I think that it is.
Because how you just explained it, I think, is how most people would explain it. In terms of like this action that I did or didn't do is affecting my brain, and thus the consequence is deeper depression or starting it or anxiety. And that process seems okay with me to a point, I guess. But I'm asking you, do you think that's okay?
Yeah, I don't know if I want to answer that right now because it gets pretty deep into things. And I think it would be easier to talk about things that are less ethically weighty.
Well, fine. I'll just sit here and drink then.
That's fine. Your brain made you do that. So like what I want to talk about first, I think would be ethically or morally, neutral things. So like if I forget, like if I put something in my brain, I say, brain, I need you to think up, to remember this thing, to remember that I'm having lunch with Jim tomorrow at 2:00, even though we're 824, contractually negotiated miles apart. If I put that in my brain and then I forget about it, I blame my brain. Like I think, oh, stupid brain. Brain was supposed to remind me of X and brain did not remind me of X. And it's like I put a piece of paper in a safe and then it turned out that the safe had a small hole in it or the safe was just poorly made and thieves could break into it anytime. And the piece of paper left the safe either through the little hole or through people stealing it. And the piece of paper is now lost.
The paper walked away.
No, I mean, somebody took it. A thief took it. Or it just slipped through some crack and crevice into, you know, under the safe. And nobody wants to look under the safe because that's like under your refrigerator.
It fell out. It fell out of the hole.
Yeah. I mean, the front fell off of the safe. And
the front fell off.
So
how do you know? Because the front fell off and 90,000 tons of crude oil spilled into the sea, caught fire. It's a bit of a giveaway. I'm just saying that's not, I memorized this stupid thing. Anyways, keep going.
So I think about it in that sense. It's not entirely my fault. Like I put it in my brain. I said, brain, remember this. But I was working with faulty hardware. I had a bad safe. I had a bad brain.
Yes. But you, David, you are the facilitator. You were aware, perhaps, in advance that your brain safe had some vulnerabilities, some holes where the front could fall off, you know, and things like that, right?
Yeah. And so that's a big part of it. Like, it's hard. I think until I sat down to write notes about this, I could not have articulated my heuristic for how and when I blame my brain for things and when I should just take responsibility.
But can you blame your brain and take responsibility?
I think so.
I think you can do that because it's like, if you have like a withered arm or a crippled arm and you can't throw a baseball, I mean, we all know, David, we all know, everyone in this room knows, we just don't want to say it out loud, that the arm is pretty inadequate here. It's a withered arm. It's a crippled arm.
I can say it out loud. Would you like me to say it out loud?
Tiny Tim and his club foot. We all know that he's just a club foot kid. And, right. You know, we feel bad.
Everyone.
God bless us, everyone. And we know this. I know. But the fact is, I know this. I know that my arm is withered. And I can't blame it on my arm ultimately. I mean, in the moment, yes, my arm is probably the chief culprit of not being able to throw that baseball. But at the end of the day, the facilitator of all my component parts,
the arm facilitator, yeah,
because I should have had someone else throw the ball. I would say, hey, David, could you come throw this ball?
Not going to go well.
And David says, I can't. And I said, well, I have this crippled arm and I got David and I can't get this ball in the air. What am I going to do?
It's not making it to home plate. And that's not a weird
friends.
Innuendo.
I'm getting the audience involved. Someone, please come help me throw this ball. And eventually I'll get it done. But the point is, I am facilitating this process and I have to take responsibility because it's one of my component parts. This is fascinating to me because I do think of my brain as a separate entity, but it is ultimately one of my entities. It's under my control. It should be. It should be under my control. My management. I am the manager.
The general manager of the baseball team, and you need to get a new pitcher.
Yeah. For Pete's sake, Jim, would you get this ball to home plate? I can't.
Another day, another K.
So anyways,
the metaphor that I thought of here was I should know my hardware. I should know what
one should.
What's that?
One should know his hardware.
Yeah. And I mean, not everybody does. Like people who slowly lose their hearing don't know necessarily, right, unless people point out to them, yeah, like,
hey, you're really bad at hearing me.
What?
That was pretty funny, actually. I don't know why.
But so like, let's say that I own let's use you as an example because it's less personal to me and that feels better. Jim, let's say that you own a Honda Civic.
I am a deaf cripple. What? I actually did own a Honda Civic once. So this works.
And you know green. That the route to you and meeting this person for lunch at 12 noon is a route with no speed limits. You're living in some, you're living on Tatooine and, you know, outside the stretch of the empire.
Ooh, dee dee. Sorry.
And you decide that you're going to travel 150 miles in 1 hour. So you get in your car 1 hour before you're supposed to meet you for lunch. No, it's not speeding. There are no speed limits. We're in Tatooine.
No, I mean, but the vehicle is a speeder because I'm on Tatooine.
No, it's a Honda Civic. That's the thing.
Oh,
and that's the other thing is your car, your Honda Civic cannot do 150 miles an hour. So like,
especially on Tatooine,
you could arrive. Let's say that the best you can do is 70 miles an hour. You could arrive roughly a half hour late and explain to me, David, I'm sorry, I'm late. My Honda Civic was too slow.
Right.
But really, you should have just left at a reasonable time.
And that's
you should have known. What's that?
Say, Jim, come on. You should have left. You should have left earlier. You know this. You know how Tatooine is.
You have a Honda Civic.
Yes. Hello.
That was the metaphor that I thought of was like knowing how fast your car can go or knowing what the limitations are. Yeah. You should know those limitations and you should behave accordingly. So like when I do things or when I fail to do things, my brain failed, but I failed to expect my brain to fail. And there's a biblical metaphor here that I think is helpful because in Old Testament law, it says that when a man has an ox who's known for goring people, like, oh, this ox has gored three people and the ox gores someone else. The Bible says that he's responsible for the goring, kind of as if he had done the goring or he had intentionally caused the goring to happen. And so I would tend to apply that principle here where like if your brain is known for forgetting things, then you need to institute some kind of a system outside your brain that's more reliable so that you don't forget those things, the things that are important anyway.
Maybe that's why we excuse teenagers from making dumb mistakes versus the 40-year-old person who makes the same mistake. We're more mad at the 40-year-old because he should know better. The teenager, well, they're learning their way through. I mean, I think it doesn't make us hate them any less. Teenagers, but we shouldn't, you know.
Don't you have children? A child anyway who's a teenager?
I love them. Mine are great. They haven't, although, you know, there's still time. I think we all innately recognize this, that we do give some grace if they don't know any better or if they haven't realized it. Because like you said, a lot of us don't realize right away of these deficiencies. But once we do know, it's very difficult for us to pass blame off of to one of our component defective parts. Because if we know it's a defective component part that we can compensate by utilizing other components or asking for help or getting help. But before too long, though, the excuse is not very valid.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm just surprised that we're agreeing this much. I didn't read your notes. And so I feel like if we keep agreeing like this, it's going to be bad radio. So I want to ask about a couple of things.
Yes.
One is the other day I was hungry because I forgot to eat two meals and I slept poorly.
Clearly not a problem in my end.
Jim forgot that he ate breakfast, so he had it three times.
That's a whole other show.
And so my brain was really foggy because I hadn't been sleeping well.
What happened first? Was it the sleep or the meals?
Well, I don't eat meals in the middle of the night. It was the sleep.
Okay, you could have a great night's sleep, David. Forget to eat two meals and then have a bad night's sleep that night.
Right, but then I would have had a meal that day. You know, three square meals. One.
No, you wouldn't. You could forget to eat two meals in a day.
And then go to sleep.
And then have a bad night's sleep. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
It's possible for most humans to do that. I know not you. But
oh, man.
Jim, that is clearly impossible.
So no, I had been sleeping poorly for several nights. This was very recently. And then I forgot two meals.
The David yawn. No? Okay.
I tried to cover it. And then I was just really, really foggy. And I told Sarah that I was really, really foggy. And she was like, well, you skipped two meals. You should probably eat something.
At this point, did you realize that you skipped two meals?
I knew that I had skipped two meals, but I thought it was because I wasn't sleepy. And it didn't even occur to me that like, oh, I should also eat something. And so where I'm going with this is like a lot of other things where like, if your car is slow, you don't have to like have a fast car to know that your car is slow. If your hearing is bad, you don't have to have good hearing to know that your hearing is bad. If your vision is blurry, you don't have to have, you know, et cetera. The brain thing is kind of an interesting one because in all of these cases, like when your car is slow, you use your brain to assess like, well, gee, all the other cars are going by faster than me and I've got my pedal to the metal. And that's how you recognize. Your brain tells you. Your brain observes and your brain reports and your brain compares. And, you know, you do all of these things with your brain, however you want to say it.
But like, when you're 80, you don't care. I keep driving, son. I don't give a ness.
I had an onion on my belt, as was the style at the time.
Thank you, Abraham.
But when your brain, I had many sons. When your brain is,
thank you, David.
Is faulty because of reasons, you don't necessarily assess the reasons. You don't necessarily see the things. Like the brain going awry is one of those weird things where there is sometimes room for saying, oh, that poor person, like whether it's a minor thing, like, oh, you haven't been sleeping well. I totally excuse you showing up late to lunch because like the whole policing your brain and making sure that you set reminders or leave at the right time or think about the route or check traffic or whatever. Like all of that is just something that you're very bad at now. And I understand that you're very bad at it because your brain, because you haven't been eating or you haven't been sleeping. And it's kind of like the Dunning-Kruger effect where like the worse your brain gets, the less capable you are of assessing how bad your brain is.
Yes, that's true.
We had a whole episode on the Dunning and Kruger effect.
We did. I do remember this. You're looking at me like you need something from me. I'm not used to this look, so.
You're all pixelated. I'm not sure why.
Okay. Is our connection not good?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. The thinking about this, I realize it's kind of a scary thing because it means that like your most important faculty, the faculty that you use to police that faculty and all the other faculties, Jim's doing the YMCA dance.
I'm trying to distract you.
Is something that like when it comes right down to it, you have very limited power over. Like you have very limited, like you can do the right things, but if, for example, you just stop sleeping well, all of a sudden you will just slip into this spiraling chaos of doing things that make your brain function more and more poorly. And because your brain is functioning more and more poorly, you do more things that make your brain function more and more poorly. And like, it's just, it's an interesting dilemma.
It is. And we have talked about this in the past. And if you're looking for me to disagree here, I'm not going to, but I still think this is good to talk about because I want to know, to what extent am I given grace here for me not knowing my mind? Because for whatever reason, because of reasons, because of a depressive state or predilection to depression or bona fide mental illness, there are going to be lengths that I will go, and I don't know how far that I've gone because of the state of my mind. And I think there is grace for that person. At least that is one of the bigger things I've learned in my maturity, or as I mature, is understanding that not everyone's minds are completely controlled. And the mind is a muscle. It is under the fall and can undergo changes, and you don't necessarily know what those changes are, and it can affect your reasoning and things like that. So especially with mental illness in Christians too is a topic that is endlessly fascinating to me, because I think that we as a culture have only been recently able to talk about it better. Maybe I just haven't been paying attention, but it's because of the circles that I was in. It's quasi-fundamentalist, evangelii, weak Baptist circles that just don't really, well,
they frankly, can't pull you back up out of the water. They're so weak.
You can't fight back against the hand that's holding you down, the Presbyterian hand.
No, we just sprinkled, Jim. It's fine.
Yeah, we just sprinkle. It's good. But all throughout my life, I've heard examples of believers that have been, that have suffered from mental illness. And I've wanted to kind of make sure that I don't go down paths where I give myself too many passes. You're right. We're not disagreeing at all. This is getting weird.
Yeah, that's a whole can of worms. Like how I mean, you know, in any time that we sin, there are a lot of factors behind it. I mean, even in our court system, just backing away from theology and just talking about legal culpability for a moment, the person who plans for 7 months to murder his neighbor, and the person who stumbles upon his neighbor having an affair with his wife and in the moment murders his neighbor, is considered less guilty. Like he is not guilty of murder one, he's guilty of murder two or murder three, or in some cases even manslaughter. So like our court system recognizes that like there are external factors, I guess, that can make you, it's not that you're more or less responsible, it's that the nature of the thing, I think, that you did changes. For whatever it's worth, Westminster Shorter Catechism, questions 83, sorry, I'm thinking of Larger Catechism. Westminster Larger Catechism, questions 150 through 152 are helpful here. I mean, they don't like set out to actually answer the question of like, to what degree, in what circuit, you know, they're not like a guide, but they are, they have a lot of principle and a lot of scripture references. So, if you're thinking about that, that might be helpful. But, again, even just as we get into like the practical things, like when somebody, forgets to put the kettle on, 'cause you know how you get upset with people for little things like, you know, you left the burner on or what have you, like, certainly, you know, we can all be like more gracious with people when we recognize that the reason they left the burner on is because they haven't gotten more than 3 hours of, you know, when you see somebody who just had kids, yeah, and they're dealing with that.
I want to start talking to my teenagers about it. I don't know how really or how to do it well, but I think teenagers can start to understand these things. Hopefully, I think it'll go well for them. I don't want them to do what I did. Mm. Just think wrongly about the world for so long and myself. Your consciousness is just running at peak capacity at all times and doesn't need to be improved. I do believe it does. But anyways.
It's also interesting how I think they say that the brain reaches like peak in terms of like raw skills, not in terms of knowledge or wisdom, but in terms of like your capacity to take in information and retain it. Like 25 is where you're like, this is great. Like,
interesting.
And then from there, it's a very, very slow decline into being senile.
I wonder if that correlates just because it's a physical reality that people age 25 to 29. I think I've actually heard the age 29 is like your physicality wise, it's your peak.
Maybe, yeah. Sometimes I think different people throw out different numbers. So I may just be wrong. And everybody may be wrong. But yeah. What's interesting to me is, so I'm vaguely aware of this. Like again, I'm 31. So if it's 29, I'm 2 years into this. If it's 25, I'm 6 years into this, which is like less than a tenth of how long I'm likely to live barring any unforeseen buses.
These are the things you think about.
And well, I think about it because like you talk about how you need to know your hardware, but like, what if you had a Honda Civic? And again, we're in a situation with no speed limits, but slowly and occasionally and at undefined times that you can't predict, you suddenly drop 5 miles an hour as your maximum speed here and there. Mm-hmm. Like, what if that's how life worked? And then you were late because you missed the 5 miles an hour. I mean, you should probably just be planning to get places early because you don't know if today is a 10 mile an hour day or if it was a 1 mile an hour day or if today's the same as last time. But it would be better to wait in the car for 10 minutes than to arrive 10 minutes late. So like you can kind of overcompensate, I guess, in a way that's safe and, you know, helps you keep your word, let your yes be yes. Mm-hmm. But like, I look at this happening to myself very slowly in very gradual ways. Like, you know, any 45-year-old is going to be like, oh, this kid thinks that his brain's starting to go and I can't even remember where I left my socks. But
I'm close to saying that, but not quite.
I'm interested by it because I don't know how quickly it's going to happen. And I don't know if there's going to be a year where a bunch of it happens. And I do think about this notion of like, how can I be, I keep looking at the wrong camera. I'm sorry, Jim. How can I be conscious of that? How can I be, it makes me want to be really charitable to people mm-hmm. who are say 52. Or even we have an elder at our church who's like in his 70s and he keeps forgetting things that are kind of like, well, I mean, I've only seen it happen once or twice, but some of them have been like, oh, that's like not great. Like it's not like, oh, his house burned down or anything that bad, but it's like, oh, that's.
He keeps bringing in cream soda for the communion wine. Yeah, I know. I feel you, man.
and he's interesting because I see him seeing it, you know, see him and he's like upset with himself and. I think that's part of what brought this on is like he is just very aware that this is happening to him and he feels bad every time it happens, but he doesn't know what to do about it. Like it's not like you can completely make sure. And you're in this situation where like you're discovering new inabilities. Like it's one thing when you're Clarence Fleckman to discover new abilities, but you're discovering new inabilities. Yesterday I could do this, today I can't.
It's called growing old. No,
that's exactly what I mean. Yeah,
there may be a time where you will run out of ways to adapt to your declining cognitive ability. That aside, let's just assume that. I think that people in their 30s should not be worrying about this too much. I don't think you are, but you're thinking about it.
No, it's just on my mind at times.
But no, what I'm saying is I think whether you know it or not, you learn to adapt to your cognitive ability over time. Hmm. You get better at compensating, you do things differently, and your much, much lower IQ doesn't always translate to how you sound because you've learned how to compensate or to sound smart or to survive in this situation where a person with much more mental ability would do maybe the same, but you have learned how to adapt and tweak things. You know, we do it physically. Like if we somehow lost our ability to, use our right arm. You know, we would find ways to compensate and do the same things, but with other appendages. Well, we only have one other. Unless you, hey, my left foot. The guy learned how to paint with his left foot. So what I'm saying is you learn how to compensate over time. I think you can do that mentally. I really do. At least that's my theory. You know, I think people do that as they lose their ability over time. There are people or business owners or people that we know in their 40s and 50s that seem to be like really doing well upstairs. And I think that's, I think they are. Are they who they were when they were 29? No, not anymore. But they still can function just fine in society and excel. Because I think the brain or there are means of compensating and performing at a high level. You're just doing it differently with less tools. You know, I believe that myself.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I somewhat instinctively, so when Sarah and I would have arguments, I mean, we still have occasional arguments, but when we would have arguments, I used to be able to just repeat back to her exactly what she said 4 minutes ago.
Oh, David, no.
Which is, we'll debate about the helpfulness of that later.
Yeah,
another topic. Now, I can't do that as reliably, and so I've stopped. And maybe that's a good thing all around. But it's little things like that where I've just learned like, oh, I can no longer like my recollection of a conversation that we had used to be in our discussions law, because I would repeat it back verbatim and Sarah would go, oh, you're right. That is what I said. Now that I hear you say it, like I remember saying that.
Sarah's listening to this like, finally, this guy.
And now I can do that some, but less frequently and less often, which is like, I don't know. I feel like that's like a superhuman feat of memory. And I'm slowly losing my superpowers.
This is great. I can podcast better with you now. I feel like I'm podcasting with an equal.
I think this started around the time we started the show. But anyway, that was something
we're
where I just
the
kind
decline
of
decline of David McCookie.
That's the alternate subtitle for the latest form of vlogging.
Yes, the decline of David McCookie. Witness here, 150 episodes of David losing his mind.
So anyways. Yeah, I agree with you. I wasn't necessarily thinking about it, like meta thinking like, oh, I'm getting worse at this and I need to stop doing it as frequently or stop relying on it as much. Yeah. But it is something that I just kind of instinctively gathered. But yeah, I think it's something that we can all think about. At least all of us over say 30 or so, can think about, because you're not always going to be as sharp. And I mean, I remember saying when I was like 20, like, oh, I don't have a system for keeping track of my to-do list because A, I don't have that many things to do. And B, I just remember them all. Like if I say to myself, oh, tomorrow I have a thing at 2, I will remember tomorrow at 2. It'll be all I'll be able to think about all day. Mm-hmm. Like, And now I keep a calendar. I keep a to-do list. I keep all these little things because, I mean, part of it is my life has gotten more complicated than it was when I was 20. And part of it is I just know that if I tell myself to do something tomorrow at 2, my brain is not going to remember that. Like there's a chance it will, but there's I have a notification set up to remind me to pre-order the iPhone 12 on Friday at 6 a.m. I don't think I'm actually going to forget that one, but it's one of those cases where like, well, I mean, I've forgotten things I didn't think I was going to forget before. So let's go ahead and take the precaution.
That's going to be the day, David. That's going to be how we know you have finally lost it, when you forget when Apple Day is, or
Apple Day,
or when you forget to order your phone at 6 a.m. When it occurs to you at 8 a.m. Oh no, I have to order a phone. Oh, no.
Oh,
she's going to have to start calling homes and reserving a spot for you. That's when we'll know that you've truly lost your mind. A good spot to end on, though.
I just wish you had talked more about your slow decline, because you're old enough to like really have experience.
Yeah, I've noticed one thing a lot. A frequent observation of mine is if I like, here, what's a good way for me to explain this clearly? Here's my cognitive decline right now. You're hearing it. No.
Thanks for the live example, Jim.
It's been happening. Oh, here, I have an example. Oh, wait, no, I guess I don't. Okay, end of the show. No. When I'm on my phone. And I think of, oh, that's an interesting topic. Let's look that up on Google. And 4 seconds later, I will forget why I'm at Google. And I can't remember what I wanted to search for. Mm-hmm. That has been happening every day.
So I don't do it like...
hasn't always happened.
I don't do it like that. But like, yeah. Instagram or Facebook will be the last thing open on my phone.
Yeah.
And I'll see something there and I'll be like, oh, I have a notification. And then I'll be like, why is my phone in my hand?
That's actually pretty disturbing. No. But yeah, stuff like that's been happening more and more and more often. And I can't recall, like I'm really good with, my musical memory was pretty good. Like if I heard a song on the radio, I'd be able to tell you who sang it, when, from which album.
What they were wearing, yeah.
What they were wearing, their DNA type. I don't know.
DNA type.
But I can't do that as well anymore. I can't recall like actors' names, you know, as well as I could
before. Actors have names?
Yes. No, like who was in that movie, Jim? Oh, that was Joaquin Phoenix. And like now I'm like, oh, that was Shirley MacLaine. I don't know who that was. You know, I'll get Shirley MacLaine mixed up with Joaquin Phoenix. That's what
Shirley,
my life
you must
is,
be right? joking.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley. No, I'm kidding. Anyways, so there we go. That's a good way to end. The election results are heating up, David. So we need to stop this show, figure out what's going to happen with our country, and we'll rock it and roll it. Right now, at the time of this recording, David, Joe Biden is leading with 91 electoral votes to Donald Trump's 73. But Donald Trump is leading the popular vote at the moment.
Ooh, the popular vote. That's trees, right? Certain kinds of trees.
Yes, Texas is leaning Joe Biden right now. Huh?
How is that possible?
That's crazy.
Texas?
He's leading by about a million.
Silly Texas.
No, 100,000 votes he's leading right now.
I guess it is a big crazy place.
Florida is leaning Donald Trump.
Well, go figure.
Yeah. Georgia and South Carolina leading Trump. Probably going to happen. Most of the East Coast, Upper East Coast is all blue. No surprise there.
Nobody cares about this. It's going to be Saturday and they may know the results and they'll be like, oh, good. I'm finding out what it was at Tuesday at 1842.
All of the major metropolitan areas will be burned down by Saturday. So we should just probably end the show. Let's just
end the last 5% on your battery to listen to this.
Before the end. As long as I can hear
Jim.
Power's
been out for months. You skipped two meals and not because you forgot.
There's forgetting it. And then there's because you don't have any food. This is the apocalypse and Mad Max is knocking at your door. Okay, let's go ahead and end the show. Goodbye.
And he's mad. Bye, everybody.
Won't someone save me from this podcast? Is it over or just dragging along? Will these two guys talk forever? Or will they quit if I sing them this song? Started off so tongue-in-cheek. Now it seems it's almost over. So I'll just have to wait.